Hello and welcome to the big show. For me, this is a very special show for me tonight, going a little back into nostalgia. But talk about the new boys. We'll start off with the new hunk who hangs around the changing rooms of BTN. Chris Campion, mate, how are you?
I'm good, mate, I'm good. Changing rooms of BTN, I never thought of myself in that way.
Well, a bit of towel whipping coming your way, I think.
Yeah, I'm really good. Missed last week, unfortunately. Great show last week. I was working down in London, and unfortunately meetings got pushed back. And I got on much later train than I expected, so I didn't walk through the door until about 9:45 and missed last week's show. So
it was good because I missed it too, so
Well.
Maybe that's why it was good. We don't know. And next up, you may see him looking at his Nintendo Switch in between takes. Richard Smith, how are you?
Hello. Sir? I'm good, thank you. Being interrupted playing Zelda doing your podcast, but you know, it's
are you still enjoying it?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. I still have to make a video review of the Switch, and I nearly did it at 5 a.m. because hey, I was up playing Zelda, so why not?
Yeah, you don't have normal sleeping hours like the rest of us, do you?
No, and it's worse now because Zelda. I mean, oh yeah, don't get me started. It's good. It's good still.
Fantastic. And for those long-term BTN listeners, you're about to hear a dulcet tone of a man who I have the signature of on a signed toilet seat, which I has pride of place in my office here. It's Mr. James Hart, one of the founding members of the British Tech Network. Hello.
Hello. If Chris was being towelled down in the changing rooms, I was buried under the patio, I think.
Oh, it's so good to have you back.
I have spent the last few years licking every piece of legacy gaming equipment I've got just in case I get the same buzz as off a Nintendo Switch.
That's
hasn't happened yet.
That's what's been keeping Rich up all night, I think. They've probably put something in there. That's what it is. But you're good, sir.
Yeah, fairly good. Thank you very much. Busy week. But then again, in this day and age, who hasn't had one?
Exactly. We're all busy, busy people. Well, Rich, me.
I maintain the image of busy. That's fine.
Rich and his Switch. Oh, there you go. That's good. Right. Well, you know what this is all about. It's Friday night and the feeling's right. Who's brought a story that is not shite? Come on, boys.
Boom.
You've boomed it, have you?
Yeah.
Okay. Campion's in first in the chat room. What have you got for me? It is Google goes after Slack and splits Hangouts into Chat and Meet.
Yeah, so obviously we're using Hangouts today.
We are.
Chops of meat.
Chat and meat.
So, I don't know if I'm as confused as Google might be in terms of what they're doing with communications, but last year, obviously we've had Hangouts for a while now. Last year, they released Allo and they released Duo, their chat and video chat platforms. And what they're now doing is they're going to develop Hangouts more into the business space. So I think like Google, one of the articles I've read several when I've been researching this story, I think what Google are talking about is Hangouts is going to move much more into the business and the corporate space, leaving Allo as the, let's call it, the consumer product out there.
Right.
And Meet is going to be the Slack competitor on the block. That's going to be the chat. Go on, Paul, what were you going to pick up and say then?
No, it's just that I'm just seeing steak. I could just see like an icon on my own phone of a burger or something. You know, Google Meet.
Well, Google Meet is going to be the new Slack.
Not suitable for vegetarians.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. The new Slack kid on the block. That's going to be your all singing, all dancing chat platform that will link into the rest of your Google accounts, your mail, your calendar, and into Hangouts, into Allo, And I'm thinking, if the one person or the one provider that get this right, I think could rock but in terms of where we go with chat and video going forward, because I don't think Skype have ever got it right. I don't think Google Hangouts have ever got it right, and certainly never made it to be across all platforms and almost the go-to place for chat. Facebook are definitely going to be in the competing space somewhere along the line on this. And I'm wondering, can Google do it now, or is it just more titles out there are just going to confuse people?
Well, they've got James, carry on.
I was going to say, I wonder if now is a good time to take a poll as to who uses what at work. Because one of the big things we're going to have, as always, is inertia. And my fear, as always, is that Google are playing catch-up with things which are quite often already fairly well established in the workspace. So since you're on the telly, Chris, you go first. What you got?
Yeah. So fairly old platform where I work, where I use an Office Communicator. From a video point of view, WebEx.
Yep.
So that's what we are.
So you're ripe for a change with the Google product then?
Ripe, but I can't see that ever happening because of the industry that I work in.
Which would be the banking industry.
Banking industry, yeah.
Paul?
Yeah, very, very slow to move. I'm obviously a Slack user and love that.
Yes.
Slack user from a BTM perspective. But yeah, I can't see Slack coming in. I'd love to see something like Google hit our shores, but I'm just not convinced that's going to happen, not for a very long time yet.
Well, I'm trying a couple of things. We're heavily invested in Office 365 at work, and I've just moved my team over to Planner, which is their kind of a chat thing. It's kind of everything rolled into one. It's kind of a planner where you can set tasks and assign people to them. So it's kind of like a service desk. It's got a one note kind of shared thing. It's got a shared file directory. It's got chat and commenting and all that sort of thing. That works quite well. But we're also trying out Dropbox Paper as well, because they've got their own version as well that allows that sort of collaborative work. I tried Slack for work, but I don't want to have my work Slack with my BTN Slack, because I say things in my BTN Slack that I may not want to say at work, and I'm not always concentrating on which tab I'm typing those things into.
Fair point.
So, but yeah, because you're a Slack user, Rich, aren't you?
Yeah, we use Slack for Simply Syndicated, but even that's not perfect. I mean, I would love it if, like, every Saturday and Sunday, we sit down to do the show, there's that little conversation in Slack of, are you ready, are you here, whatever. Yeah. And then I post a link to Hangouts in it. And it'd be great if we could just press a button in Slack and do what we do in Hangouts. But I don't know. Does anyone else just groan when Google say, oh, we've got a messaging solution? Like, whoa, another one.
Apparently it says seventh or something, isn't it?
Seventh?
We've talked about things like this before with Google, in that it's rare that they ever see anything through to the end. Mm-hmm. And the second that something gets out there and people start to latch onto it, they move on to something else.
Yeah, look absolutely. At us on Hangouts, finally.
Well, no, we're not even on Hangout. We're officially on Google YouTube Live. Because if you type in Hangouts on Air, which used to be the server, it goes, actually, no, we're taking you to YouTube. But YouTube Live uses the Hangouts engine. it's just like, oh my God. You can see for the preamble for this show, I'm so organized that I'm using their system.
It's awful. It is awful. It's not your fault. I would get as confused.
Well, partially it is.
Oh, okay. it's why we stopped doing live Tech It or Leave It or whatever, because I couldn't do it. The idea of trying to set that up every week was just too much of a nightmare, which it shouldn't be. It's just, I don't know. They have so many messaging solutions and I don't like any of them. So well done there, Google. That in itself is some sort of achievement, I feel.
Yeah. There's only one that I really like, and it's iMessage, because all of my family have it. My wife and my daughter have it. And it's the one thing we use to communicate on with everything. And we can send pictures, and we've got Gboard installed, and we can send rude GIFs and all those sort of things. It just works.
I wonder if it works well on a large corporate level. You know, that's the problem. Is the scalability of it. I mean, we're having an interesting discussion in the chat room. Batchwench was saying they don't really know. She doesn't really know what they use. And I said, well, we've got very limited options because they don't let us go on the internet to share traffic. So they've blocked Telegram, WhatsApp, Dropbox. There's pretty much nothing we can really do, because there's commercially confidential data which could so easily get out of the company, that you do need this walled garden.
Yeah.
If Google can provide the internal infrastructure, or kind of like a local cloud, that would be great for the larger industries, for the government. I don't know what.
Yeah.
I guess it's... That's the same. There's separate markets for the various different providers. I think Slack is really owning the new technology space, the small to medium sized companies. I mean, that is what Google is going to have to be running at, and they're going to really struggle doing it, because Slack has got so much traction in terms of the user base already. So you've got the people who are using Slack at the moment who are going to try and persuade them to move away. Mm-hmm. Don't think it's going to happen. So then you've got the people who haven't committed, haven't changed their technology, or are using a solution that doesn't necessarily work for them, and they're going to need the evangelists out there to be able to do that, sell it, that hard sell. And that's unfortunately where I think Google falls down, is they don't. They go, hey, shiny technology, and everyone just goes,
It's kind of like when you ask your child to tidy their room, they go, yeah, I'll do it, and they're in there for 3 seconds. They put a couple of things under the bed, don't they? They go, I'm done. And then you kind of like, if I have to come in there and tidy it myself, you're in big trouble. And Google just have so little attention to the things that they do. Yeah, what wasn't but Gmail in beta for years, wasn't it?
Yeah. In fact, I think it's still an option to put the beta logo back on Gmail.
I'm so going to do that.
I'm quite serious. I think it's in settings. I've just gone to it. Anyway, yeah.
But I suppose business has to be careful, though, because obviously Chris will be akin to this working in the banking industry. Obviously, yours is very locked down, aren't they?
Yeah, it's exactly the same as James was just saying there. You know, there's no social media access on 99.9% of the desktops. There's no external cloud, no Dropbox, none of that sort of stuff, and for very good reason, because of customer data. It's absolutely the right thing. So it would have to be almost an internal cloud type solution for us to use things like. Whether that be Slack or even Google, and I'm not sure if Google are interested in that sort of corporate environment, or if they're looking for the other types of SME sized companies who are absolutely using cloud. They're using Dropbox and Box and all those and WhatsApp and all those other technologies in their day to day trading, because their industry allows them to do that.
Yeah, because I'll explain on terms of kind of like corporate security. In my new job as doing design at the UEA, I bought my boys all new production machines. So they're like $4,000 each, these new production machines. And the bloke came to fit them in. And he's like, why are there a PS2 ports on the back? The old style, you know, it's like a brand new PC. It costs $4,000. There's a PS2 keyboard and a mouse port. It is because a lot of companies just shut down the USBs, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So you can still plug a keyboard and a mouse in. So it is. Wow. And I think companies who are looking down that sort of route are going to look at Google and go, so what is it you do with our data again?
Do people trust Google to do that sort of thing? I mean, if they were offering the banking industry a communication engine, would there not be any pause for thought over, so who can see that then? I mean, Google will say it's secure, but, you know, Trump. And stuff.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it?
I think this is much wider than just the banking industry. I think there's government. There's so many companies out there where security and regulation is key now, and they absolutely need to understand exactly where all their data is and be protective of that data.
Well, in fact, where I'm working at the moment, they are building their own internal cloud. So it is essentially a corporate-wide cloud in. American data centers, which is only for use for our traffic, and of course then they can deliver software as a service applications to within the network, and they can obviously have much more control over what, not only what they have within the network, but also what is allowed out onto the internet. And it works entirely the other way with Google, where companies are subscribing to the massive thing that is Google and a small part of it, and they take a share in it and expect anybody else who's sharing in also with Google's resources to be trustworthy enough not to sort of try and hack into their space, if you see what I mean. Obviously, it's probably fairly cogently set up, so it's impossible to anybody but to do. But it's still, if you have large companies are really going towards the internal cloud model, and there are systems available for them to enable them to do that, I guess.
Yeah, well, you've got to be careful. When we moved to Office 365, there was a lot of debate about what stuff could be in the cloud and what stuff couldn't. And the general kind of user data can go up into OneDrive, it's fine, but data has to stay on site. It has to be spread across two data centers, it has to be backed up, it has to be kept for 10 years, all those sort of things. But there's no real kind of, not legislation is not the word, but no kind of policy of what they can and can't do, because they have access to OneDrive. So they might just stick their research data in OneDrive anyway, so they can access it from home. Mm-hmm. So there's a real worry. And obviously I'm on a campus of 30,000 users. It's very hard to keep on top of what people are doing. But Google, if I was in charge of IT at where I work and Google came in, and actually before the Office 365 thing, Google did come in and do a presentation. Because they have Google Apps, don't they, for business. I don't know what the difference is between that and consumer apps, but we looked at Google's offering and went, don't trust it.
Well, that's what Google are offering at the moment, is anybody who has subscribed to the Google Apps Sphere, I can't remember what it was called, G-Client or G-something or other, are the ones who are getting a first look at this Slack thing. And I mean, one of the things I was looking at was, because my topic of conversation was going to be fairly similar to or sort of move along from this, is to who is actually using the Google Cloud and Web Services at the moment. And there are some big names. There are the names you would expect to be associated with Google. Mm-hmm. You know, the Android clients, the likes of Duo and all the other sort of the smaller subsidiaries of Google, but also some other big names. So it's that there are people who have already bought into the Google ecosystem, but it's, there still isn't that sort of in uprush of people going, yes, what those companies are doing is a shining example to us all, and we'll all do it that way as well.
Yeah. Do you think part of it is because of what and who Google are, that they make their money from selling data?
True.
Data. Is ultimately, is there a trust thing here? In that, I mean, we say that, but most of us here will probably have Gmail accounts. But sitting in the background, is there a trust there in terms, a trust issue in terms of what and how they use data?
Mm. Well, we had to have a Gmail account to join in here, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got us. Yeah. You know, it's that you are the product of their service, aren't you? They offer you all of these services. You know, it's great that when Ewan's not around and he's not in the studio, we haven't got the Skype wall and all the Macs, I can still do a four-way podcast with you guys. But for that, Google might be listening to what I'm saying right now, what we've said in the chat, what I've done in my emails. It's all out there, isn't it?
Well, it's just struck me, though, that... Yeah, go on.
So there becomes a level of acceptable risk. I mean, if Google are listening to our podcast, that's cool, because we're going to broadcast it anyway. Whereas if they're hacking in, if they're listening to or reading or whatever, piles and piles of banking customer data, then that's a different issue altogether. I'm not saying come and read all my email, Google, but if you did, I don't really care. Read all the receipts I've got for vape stuff and whatever. go and read my Amazon subscription circulars, whatever. That's cool. But it's, you know, there's nothing sensitive in there.
Yeah,
it's interesting what you were saying about the Google ecosystem, because we really do pick and choose what Google offerings we use. Mm-hmm. So we do. Yes, I imagine. Yes, as we said, we've all got Google accounts. The first place we go to if you want to watch a video tends to be YouTube.
Yeah, yes,
I've got Duo on my phone. Never used it, but you're saying you use iChat, Paul, to communicate, because you're in the Apple sphere. That is the accepted thing to do when you have an Apple computer. You have the fixed set of things that Apple offers, and Google just goes, here's a load of stuff, have a go on it if you like. And you just go, well, I don't know. I'll do that when I've tidied my room.
No, we did when because Duo is the video one, isn't it? Is right. Duo the video one?
Yeah.
And you'll know acquaintance of ours, James, old Neil Pierce over in Australia. Yeah. I was on a coach down to London for some reason or other, and Jura just came out. We did a quick test of it. I was in a rainy coach going down the M around the M25. He was in lovely sunny Perth, and we tried it. We liked it, and I deleted it the next day because I thought I've got other things that I need to do or that I can use for this. So I wouldn't, if I was making the buying decisions in a company, mm-hmm. I'd say if one, it's an awful name. And two, if we invested in it, how long would it be around to be supported as well as the issues on data?
I'd be more concerned with its lifespan than the data issues. For Google, I mean, you know, it's going to be 5 years tops.
Yeah,
it's going to be till it's only got 10 million regular users. Let's switch it off. It's barely worth it.
Yeah,
and we'll just. But I want 10 million. Okay, just turn it off then. Fine.
I mean, in some respects, it's good to know that Google will never take over the world.
because
either they or we'll lose interest.
That's it.
Exactly.
Oh, I can't be bothered anymore. You run the world.
Well, we've got some interesting ones from the chat. SM2N says he's MSN Messenger, but no one answers his calls. Yeah, I think you find that probably ran out a little while ago. I used to love MSN Messenger. I used to live in a house and we used to share a hub on a network on a 56K modem. And we'd use MSN Messenger to see what tea. That's what you used to use it for.
MSN Messenger, it's only what Office Communicator and then pretty much Link is the foundation of both of those things.
And now Skype for Business, in fact, I think.
Yeah.
Is what we use now, and we use Skype for Business. Another topic that was brought up in the chat room, and this is an interesting one because I think it's been mentioned on. I think you mentioned it, Chris, is that WebEx is kind of the place to go if you want a formal meeting, and it is clunky. If ever you have to start a meeting, you click a web link, it opens up an applet on your machine. It counts up slowly to 100%. Eventually, when everybody's joined, you end up with the. I don't know if you've seen those YouTube of telephone conferences were in real life where people are just it's a hilarious video set. It's like that, but the thing is, we still are totally bought into Cisco WebEx because it is the thing everybody uses, and if Google were able to be able to sort that out damn quick, we'd all be happy. But I still think there's enough inertia. I've had everywhere I've worked for the last 5 or 6 years has used WebEx as their go-to for video conferencing.
Yeah, and damn it, Google have a freaking browser as well that you can build straight into.
That you have to open WebEx in to get it started.
Well, when you look at what Google have got, they've got YouTube, we all use it. They've got the email, we all use it. The calendar, they've got the chat. It is perfect for a single platform where everything can be used across, and in theory should work absolutely seamlessly, but we still use different products and hope and expect them to join up, which sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's an imperfect world. And I think me and Chris were talking about, I did a post a few months back about the mess in messaging, I think it was called. And it was just like, I literally have on my phone, I have like one app to talk to one person, which is Telegram, because they only will use Telegram. And I'm like, why the hell am I taking up space on my home screen to talk to this one person? Why can't I just have Slack to talk to everyone else? I've got Facebook Messenger, I've got Facebook, I've got Twitter, I've got Slack, I've got Instagram. It's like, it's insane. And I remember I used to have an app. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's where it used to combine all of your chat apps together.
Trillium, was it?
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Yes. That was a joy, because no matter who contacted you, but they're so kind of sandboxed now and so siloed that no one wants to share the information with anyone else anymore. Mm. So you're sitting there with, and I literally, and I just have little red numbers. So I have 11 Messenger messages. I have 2 Google Photos. I have 5 Twitters, 3 Slacks, 4 WhatsApps, 18 iMessages. Oops. Mm. And it drives me insane. And it's putting me off my watch as well. It's putting me off my Apple Watch, because it's just going, you got messages, don't you? And I'm like, yeah, I know.
I just want Google to make one that doesn't send you alerts that tells you you're using it while you're using it. Hang on.
Excellent service.
Let's see if you can see that on my there. Hangouts, one notification. I wonder what that could be. Let's see. Oh, you are on a call with Paul, James, and Chris. Thank you, Google. That was, wow. I needed that to put in my pocket. Thank you.
Yeah, I've got one in my Gmail. What the hell's going on?
None of them are any good. It's 2017 and nobody can do a thing where I type letters in a box and it comes up on somebody else's screen. What's the problem?
See, well, as SM2N says in the chat room, there are other ones out there, Amazon Chime. But unfortunately, unless you get other people who are willing to use it, it's like the first tube station, isn't it? Baker Street, where the hell did that go? It's like, if you're the only person of your social group who uses a particular messenger, nobody else will. Funnily enough, I use Telegram as well, and I have a very small number of people who use Telegram. And I quite like Telegram to communicate with people because it's not owned by Facebook. It's owned by Russians, but that's another point. Yes. But my sister logged on to try Telegram, and we had a bit of a chat about it because she saw me on there. And then I sent her a message, and she never replied. And then I said to her, I messaged her on WhatsApp, which the whole family used, and said, Kath, why did you not reply to my messages? I deleted it because there was no one else on.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because there's people like WhatsApp, Facebook. They've got such a grip now on these social markets. Twitter's out there. We're all on Twitter, varying degrees of love and hate on Twitter. I think Twitter's one of the things that we all love it and hate it, but can't quite delete it. But I don't see, so Amazon Chime looks like it could be a good product, but they've got an awful lot to claw back from the rest of the market to even get this slightest little toehold.
I'll tell you who will use Amazon Chime. My wife is absolutely in love with Amazon. She's having a relationship with a delivery man who comes every day. she's got an Amazon Kindle Fire, and I can appreciate why she's got that, because it was something like £5.50 and a bag of onions.
Yeah.
She's got a Kindle Paperwhite that she reads. She's got an Amazon Prime account. She listens to Amazon Music. We've got an Alexa, I imagine if any of her friends went on Amazon Chime, she'd jump on that as well. I mean, there is what I'm basically saying, and I'm probably going to get a kicking if my wife ever sees this, but Beth is one of the Amazon set, and she would, if Amazon had a social community, which it doesn't, they would use Amazon Chime, I expect.
Mm-hmm. And the thing I don't understand is Back to the Future had it sorted. you had a video wall, and then faxes came out of the wall. That's all you needed. They had it sorted. Why have we not got faxes coming out the wall? And I also want to know when you loaded the paper. But yes, I think we can all agree that messaging is just messy.
Yeah. And so you have, yeah. I was going to say the self-tying trainers, the hoverboard, and the fax machine. The paper comes out of the wall. I think that was the one that was third on the list. They may invent it, but it's probably not going to happen.
I think I've got a new business coming. Yeah, let's think. Well, thank you very much. That is we've done quite well on that one, actually.
Yeah, I've heard it way better than I expected.
Hey, that's what we like. Yes. Oh, anyway, who's next? I'm looking at you two.
Well, I've got something here. I was going to go with Plex Cloud Media Server is now available for everyone, and how that was probably going to push me into subscribing to Plex Pass. But then I saw this other headline that is Looney Tunes and Hanna-Barbera classics are getting their own streaming service. And that's it.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm reading this from The Verge. The library will include Bugs Bunny, Scooby-Doo, Tom and Jerry, The Jetsons, The Flintstones, among others, with about 5,000 titles in total. It will add new episodes of Scooby-Doo, Tom and Jerry, and Looney Tunes.
Although I'm
not bothered about new episodes of any of those shows.
Just old ones.
But $5 a month, if it launches here at all, that will be on my list of things to get, because I could just sit and watch those cartoons all day. But I suppose I could jump back to the Plex Cloud thing, because that's...
The other thing, isn't it? Yeah, because have they got enough content? Because I know you've got because this is the other problem. Kind of streaming is a bit like messaging, isn't it? You've got Netflix, which has got some stuff. You've got Amazon Prime, that's got some stuff. You've got Disney Life, which has the Disney stuff. If you don't have Hanna-Barbera, you've got the, what is it? Oh, the stupid reality one, whatever that is. My wife and my daughter watch. I don't know. it's called, I think no it's called.
Point asking me.
I actually think this is the way forward. Like, I think that we're past the stage of hoping that Netflix have everything, that there's going to be one thing you could subscribe to and they have everything. That's not going to happen. It's never going
to happen. It did surprise me that they probably could have courted one of the services to get a licensing deal. But they said, they clearly thought we could make more money if we go it alone. And that's a really bullish attitude to take, because they are then, I guess, appealing to their fans directly, but also they have more control over what they sell and how much they sell it for. But they've also got to invest in the infrastructure, so it's a kind of a double-edged sword, really.
Oh, but you can buy in the infrastructure. I mean, that's a relatively straightforward thing to do. I think, is it the God? It's actually one of the Americans. I think it's the baseball people.
In
America, who have their, they ended up doing such a good streaming service.
Yes,
they now sort of outsource, you know, let other people use it.
HBO use the NBA, don't they?
Yeah. And so it's that sort of thing you can get in. And if you can just have, I actually find it quite appealing, sort of here's a Hanna-Barbera cartoon streaming service. Cool. And I have Shudder, which is just horror films. And there's a documentary one, which is just documentaries and that sort of thing. And they're all quite cheap. And I honestly think this is the way forward.
I think the price has got to be the right thing, because Disney Life, when that launched, it launched quite a big fanfare, and in the UK it was $9.99 a month, if I remember right. I think it's maybe 12 months old now, if that, Disney Life, and it's already been reduced to $4.99 a month. And this is Disney. Disney's huge, as we all know. And Disney, pretty much every Christmas and once or twice during the year, they license a lot of their content to Sky. You see the odd Disney thing going through Netflix or through Amazon Prime Video. But they chose also to launch Disney Life, and they've slashed the price, the monthly subscription price, in half inside pretty much 4 months. And that makes me, I mean, and that's Disney, who are worldwide, I'm sure, are probably bigger than Hanna-Barbera and Looney Tunes.
Now, I wonder if the two reasons they did it was, one, they realised they could get more market share if they reduced the price, or two, they realised that this could be the way that everybody does it, and therefore they have, you know, people are only going to, unless they're, I wouldn't be comfortable, but then again, I have no idea how much I pay for Virgin Media, you know, how much you get charged for a Sky package. I wouldn't be comfortable having more than 4 or 5 separate subscriptions for television and on streaming video service. Any more than that, and I'd start not being able to manage it.
Yeah.
And if it was more than a fiver each, it would be.
And that's the thing. I think price is key. I've got Sky. I love Netflix. I love Prime Video. But then again, I don't consider that I pay anything for Prime Video. I pay for Amazon Prime for my deliveries. Yeah. I would be paying those delivery charges anyway, and we use Amazon a hell of a lot. So and for me, Prime Video is free. It's a benefit on the back of just being a Prime subscriber. I don't think of it as paying for TV. But I think is it $7.99, something like that, I pay for Netflix. I'm happy with that price for everything that's on there. My daughter loves Disney, so we've got Disney Life for her at $4.99. She's the one who watches it, and it's worth it for that price. Mm. At $9.99, I'm not so sure it was worth it.
No, they say that the $4.99 is the sweet spot. They said that was the price that Apple tried to negotiate for Apple Music as well. And I think it's that amount of money, because I don't know if it's an American thing, but they always go as the price of 2 cups of coffee. And that justifies it. But I think what they do, they try to get to such a low price that it's enough money or not enough money to come out of your account where you're really going to be shocked. Because we all know the kind of yearly things, like every year my solicitor takes, I don't know, 40 quid out of my account to hold my will or whatever. I'm like, I forgot about that. Oh, 40 quid. Oh, God. But then $4.99 every month, kind of, yeah, okay.
I can't believe you can get like a month of Disney films for less than the cost for a pint in London.
Yep. It's not just films. Yeah. You look at Disney Life, they've got films, they've got Disney music, they've got all the different music streaming Disney, they've got Disney books on there as well. They've got the films, and they've got the specials, the cartoons and stuff like that, the individuals. They've got on that, you know, it for $4.99, it's a bargain. I've got a 5-year-old girl. She, between that and YouTube Kids, that's all her view, and she never watches the TV in the living room.
True, we very rarely watch. Yeah, it's true. And I should drink less, I guess. Then I'll be able to afford to watch telly.
No, my daughter would love Disney Life. So at this point, Hermione, go to bed before Daddy carries on. I think you're right with the sweet spot of having, you know, more than four gets a bit, because I've got, I've got Netflix. I do pay for the Plex Pass because I use it so much. I'm building a new media center at the moment just for Plex. I get Spotify, but because I work at university, I get it for $4.99.
You're pretending to be a student.
It's the wonder of a .ac.uk email address, yes.
£2 a pint in the student union bar as well, I bet.
Today, yes. the trouble with student union bars is they all drink coffee now.
What?
So you go to the bar, and it's three deep at the bar, they're all drinking coffee, and you're like, I just want a beer.
That's it. Next year, when UEA have got virtually no students queuing up to get in, and the dean of the university wonders why, it's going to be your fault, Paul.
Well,
students of the UK are going to be thinking, we're not going to Norwich, because they all drink coffee.
Students drink coffee now. This is what's wrong with the country.
This is it. Well, point in question, our good friend Muller popped down to the UEA today to see me, to drop off, and James know what this is. Just say, this is the original Line 1 BTN Mac Mini. The original, the first ever Skype wall Mac. And he popped in and I said, do you want to go for a beer? He's like, nah, it's all right. And I was like, what the hell's good? I think it's when you come onto campus, just something happens to you. It's like, oh, I was going to drink coffee and eat paninis. So, no, eat burgers and drink cider. The sun's out. And I bet they've got Netflix and Hanna-Barbera and Disney Life and Amazon Prime and Plex and Spotify.
I don't think we'd cope as students these days.
I wouldn't.
I was in the bar on Wednesday night meeting some friends at the Union Bar, and I walked in and blessed the girl. It must have been dark because I don't look like a student. And she said, do you mind if I ask you a quick survey? And I said, yeah, it's fine. And she said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you recommend this to a friend to come here? And I said, 10. She went, 10? Why? I said, I've been drinking it for 15 years, love. she just looked me up and down and went, So no, I will stick at three streaming services because I drink beer. Mm-hmm. So, but no, it's interesting that more and more, because I'm sure this, because I could see like Cartoon Network doing one as well in the future as well. Oh, on Disney Life, do you get the Star Wars ones?
Can't remember. I'll see if I can check while we.
Do you get Star Wars Rebels? No, don't check. No, God, you always cost me money. You always cost me money.
It makes it more of a sell if you can say that me and my daughter want to do it to your wife. We both got a stake in it, and maybe you'll find something your wife likes to watch as well. Because I mean, my other half, for some peculiar reason, absolutely loves Christmas movies, and if she could subscribe to a Christmas movie channel all year round, she would watch it. Please don't tell me there is one of them as well. Please.
There probably is, but like, Richard, you've got is it the Shudder one you said you've got? Is that the horror one?
Yeah, that's the horror one, and that's pretty good for what it is. If you don't like horror, it's obviously terrible. Don't get it, but yeah, it's pretty good for what it is. I've lost track of the number of subscriptions I have. I've been thinking about it while you were talking. I know.
No, don't do it.
Okay, this very Sky ones. We got rid of Sky, the satellite version, and got Now TV.
Oh, it's Now TV as well. Jesus Christ.
And so that's another couple, because we got the entertainment package and the movie package, which that's two separate things that just happen to come through the same. I don't know anymore. I still know that I've got a long way to go before it gets close to what our monthly Sky bill was.
And that's probably the sort of thing that I'm going to do going forward.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, we were paying 60 quid a month for Sky.
Mm. For
channels we never watched.
Mm. And although, I was in the supermarket the other day, and I worked out, because they sell these now TV boxes in supermarkets, don't they? Mm. 15 quid.
Yeah.
And they come with like 3 months entertainment or movie packages. It's actually cheaper to go and buy a box every 3 months than it is to actually subscribe to their service.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy, you only have to buy 4 boxes a year, which is 60 quid.
Yeah.
There you go. Money saving advice. And then, and then flog them on eBay.
Yeah. I mean, I love the Now TV box, but it just suffers from the limitations of, you know, it's broadcast television to a certain extent that doesn't ever get watched. But yeah, just so many streaming services. It's only going to go up. I'm now looking at damn Disney Life. So thank you for that. I mean, does it have classic Disney cartoons on it? Because yes. I would look. Oh, right. Now you cost me another $5 a month.
Yeah, he does that.
Yeah, like, it's all the classics. I'm looking, I can see Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, no!
I can see, but yeah, all the classics, the Sleeping Beauties, the Nemo's, Beauty and the Beast, all that sort of stuff is on there.
And it's a whole new paradigm of viewing, really, because you just go, right, I am going to put aside £5 a month, and I know I will not get any more adverts.
Mm-hmm. True,
and
true.
It's just, it's like... It is like a totally different way of viewing. And it's, I mean, I watch stuff on Amazon Prime and it is brilliant. I mean, every now and then there'll be a trailer at the beginning of what you're watching. You just click, nah, won't have any of that. Get straight on with the program.
Although you do get a 7-day free trial with Disney Life.
Yeah.
If I start watching Star Wars straight after this for 3 straight days.
Paying it, yeah.
I'll catch up with Star Wars, but I will be divorced.
Oh, that's the other side of this, though, isn't it? It potentially does encourage the whole nature of binge watching television. And one of the reasons my daughter has been on at me for I don't know how long to get Netflix, but I know if she gets Netflix, it will be series of this after series of this after series of this, and she'll be glued to her screen the whole time.
Yeah.
And there'll be, you know, some kind of... fortunately, I don't think Disney really has these massive story arcs, massive complex story arcs where characters undergo significant development. I may be wrong. I may have completely misunderstood the whole premise of Mickey Mouse, but Mickey Mouse and his clubhouse. But yeah, it is a totally new paradigm of watching television.
Yeah. And the other thing is, it's individual as well, isn't it? Because you've all got your screens. Like, here, we've all got iPads. Mm-hmm. We've got a TV in both bedrooms and in the living room, obviously. And if someone wants to watch... So, this weekend, we watched all the X-Men movies, not the new ones with the young people. Yeah. And they're terrible. They're absolute rubbish. I want a weekend of my life back. But my daughter just went, oh, so you're watching Marvel movies again. Puts her headphones on, picks her iPad up, and she's fine, you know, because she's got her subscriptions, I've got mine. Mm-hmm. And you do that, don't you? But it takes away a little bit of that kind of watching things together, doesn't it?
But is that not a good thing to a certain extent, especially with kids? I mean, when I think back to, and I have to think back to my old childhood because there are no kids running around here, but... The number of arguments between me and my sister over what went on the television.
True.
Must never happen now. And that was just between me and her before my dad gets home from work and he wants to watch the news, but I want to watch Star Trek on BBC Two. Mm-hmm. And Caroline's got a video she's recorded and needs to watch for the 92nd time this week. And all this other thing's going off. And now you just go, yeah, iPad, headphones on, leave me alone.
Yeah, true.
And I think it might help families stay together in peace a lot more.
I was going to say, is that the secret to a good marriage?
Headphones.
4+ subscriptions.
And headphones.
Actually, I think when I got these new headphones, because they've got the noise cancelling on them, the wife was kind of like, hey. She got annoyed when I got Alexa, because she went, another woman you can talk to, so you haven't got to talk to me.
Yep.
She's not happy with Alexa one bit.
Really?
Not at all. No, absolutely hate. Me and my daughter love it. Love her to death. And now she controls Plex, she's even better. She's absolutely brilliant. So, and like I say, Plex is another subscription, but I think I get a lot out of that because I like having all of my stuff all in one place, because obviously it's stuff I've legally obtained of over a period of time, of course.
Not even ripped from DVD, because you're not allowed to do that anymore.
Well, I wouldn't even think. what is this DVD of which you speak? No. But yeah, it's great. And I upload them to the cloud, and so they can see what I've got. I must be mad. But yeah, it is that kind of thing where I'm sure all of us do our budgeting and all that sort of thing. We've got mortgages to pay and all those sort of things. And okay, the mortgage gets paid. You've got to pay the water bill. And then, because on top of that, you've got your internet bill as well. Mm-hmm. As well as subscription, you've got your internet bill. So actually, you add it all up, it just gets a bit ridiculous.
It gets a bit scary. That's where it goes.
I still feel like internet's free, you know. And I know it's not. I know that there's a bill comes out of this house every month that in some way pays for internet. But do you not still have that feeling of panic when it used to be a penny a minute plus whatever monthly subscription it was, and your mum's on the phone trying to get on the phone, like, get off the internet? And I'm still living in this honeymoon period of there's just internet. No one cares. It's just there for me.
I lived in a student house where we had that problem with the phone stroke internet. And on my right hand, I have one deformed finger, which is through getting it broken by someone who wanted to use the phone
when I wanted to use the internet.
An angry Italian was not happy. So in a confrontation of like switching over modems and phones, he broke my finger.
It's funny what you're saying about students. My son goes to university towards the end of this year, and we have to decide whether or not he gets a telly to get a TV license. And he's going, no, I probably won't. I'll probably just get a subscription to a service, be it Netflix, or even just sort of get the password for Amazon Prime that we're using. And he can exist on that, YouTube, and anything he finds animated GIFs on Reddit, which he seems to watch for hours on end, and I don't understand why.
That's the benefit now. With Amazon Prime, set it up as the household. Mm-hmm. And he absolutely can use that account.
And so he doesn't need to buy a TV license, I don't think. I mean, he's going to miss, you know, I think, what will he miss? I think he'll miss Robot Wars and anything with Harry Hill in it, and that's about it.
And that's because we're assuming he won't use iPlayer.
But you've got to have a TV license for iPlayer now.
Well, yeah, of course.
But... And he's a law-abiding citizen, damn you. What are you trying to say about how I brought up my children?
Yes, and my Plex server is full of legal content. But, you know. Yeah. But yeah, do you know what? Of all the years I was a student, I didn't have a TV license till I moved into a shared house. And then you sort of just get one for the house, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. We had a detector man turn up at our halls of residence once, and he stood there at the front door. He's like, looking baffled. One of you using TV without a license? And good luck. No, good luck.
I have a similar story. It's like one of the kind of mid 90s World Cups. I was in another student house, and we're watching one of the England games, something like that. And the TV detector man came round because they assumed that most people were watching TV. And he said, well, we get that. So open the door, there's a TV detector man. And he said, do you have a TV license? I said, well, I don't live here. And the bloke who lived there went, shut the freaking door, I'm watching the bloody TV. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Oh. Do they still have detector vans?
I don't think they do.
Yeah, I haven't seen one.
They get lynched nowadays, wouldn't they? White vans kind of going around communities. No. No.
Yeah.
So there we go. We have another subscription service. Add that to your list, everyone. And if you're poor at the end of the month, blame Richard Smith. I won't tell you his email address.
No, okay. Yeah.
On 07.
Fantastic. Oh, Mr. Hart, relight my fire.
Okay. So I don't know if the topic has been covered about this Vault 7 business. Mm-hmm. About how the dear old WikiLeaks have published a massive set of documents about how the CIA have been able to infiltrate Android phones, iOS devices, even Samsung tellies. And we did check, and the Samsung telly is in our lounge is new enough that it's not affected by it. And obviously there was it, it's these it's the stories like these that I'm most interested in, because they are the ones that make them mainstream. They get on the news services, and not least because it gives the news services something to say, wow, you guys have been spied upon, it and do the usual hyperbole associated with it. And then you sort of, everybody sort of takes one step back and goes, and I read an article on Forbes to say, actually, it only affected iOS devices, iOS 8 and 9, some older Android devices. So obviously there are some, there are still some people at risk because they haven't updated their operating systems. But they are the, they're the vast majority, but there are still these zero-day attacks. And apparently what the CIA have is a large book. And they go, well, what sort of device does this guy use? Oh, he's got a Samsung Galaxy S5. Right, let's have a look, see what we can do with that. And they have this massive collection of exploits that they can apply to people who they wish to be able to get to do. And you think, and the sources have been, and it looks like it does appear, and I don't understand whether or not this is by fair means or foul, that you do have the likes of GCHQ and the government agencies, and also individuals and white hat hackers, and possibly, you know, by nefarious means, all this stuff is being collected and curated by an organization. And it's the fact that it's not the fact that it's out there, it's the fact that it's all being collected in one place and can be referred to at any moment's notice. And I just wondering what people think, what you guys think about what the risk to us as individuals are, as people just going about our day-to-day work, and what the risk to the general public is if somebody gets hold of that information and just goes, right, let's have some fun.
Mm. Well, I think the first thing is the paranoia, because, like you say, the major news outlets always cover these things, don't they? And they do it. You know, we do it with a kind of tech-minded kind of approach. But when it goes out on the 10 o'clock news, going, your TV's watching you, they're going, what? Is it? What?
I'm watching my TV.
Yeah, Jesus. I think the four of us here are probably, even though we are like Google account users, we're probably a bit savvy about our tech. I think a lot more people put a lot more stuff online than they realize that's being revealed, if you know what I mean. So I don't, if you're of a certain age, which I'm sure none of us are, that a lot of people put stuff out there anyway, and they get caught that way because, like, some employers want to look at your Facebook page before they'll employ you and stuff like that now, don't they? Mm-hmm. But when you go to the kind of levels of law enforcement, it gets really worrying, because you're kind of thinking, you always get that thing where you see a police car, you always feel slightly nervous, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're kind of like, have I actually done something that could be used against me one day?
But in all honesty, Paul, nowadays, if I see a USB stick, I feel just as nervous. If I see, you know, you find, if I see a USB, I mean, I've watched both series of Mr. Robot, and I think it is just a phenomenally written series, because there amazing, and I will now not accept a CD from someone, and I will not accept free USB sticks as merch.
No, because I think that, I can't remember where it was.
People do.
Yeah, but I think there was a thing where they were leaving them outside, like an office of some big company or something like that, and people just picking them up, and taking them, and going, "Oh, I've got a free USB stick," and plugging them in.
Yeah.
But that's a slightly different thing from the government doing it, and it is to a different end. I mean, the thing is, with technology, you are inevitably at risk, whatever the technology is you're using. The cleverest person in the world doesn't work for the company who made the thing you're using. And that's just always going to be the case. But I don't agree with it. I think it's a level of intrusion on privacy, which is unacceptable to me. But at the same time, I trust that the government are not trying to get my bank details to get all the money out of my account. But there are plenty of people who are doing that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They, you know, that's part of the world we live in now. I'm not comfortable with it, but I just trust a little more that the government are not going to affect my day-to-day. I don't think this affects regular people in their day-to-day lives at all. And I also didn't find it shocking that they've got a list of exploits for a load of devices. Like, of course they have.
Oh, they buy them in high hackers, yeah.
And if they haven't, there's plenty of people who have. You know, and if I've reached the point where the CIA have felt it necessary to spy on my Amazon Echo, then I don't know. I think maybe I've gone a long way down the road I don't want to go down anyway at that yeah. point.
Because there was that case, wasn't there, in America just recently where they wanted his Echo information?
Yeah, it's the murder case, wasn't there, where and he has willingly allowed to go out. So Amazon fought for them not to release any records of this. But he said, look, I didn't murder the guy. He can take my records. You won't find anything.
But his water meter gave him away, didn't it?
Yeah, they used his water meter, didn't they? Because they thought that he'd use an excessive amount of water between, I don't know, midnight and 2 a.m., whatever it was, to wash away blood from the side of his swimming pool.
So be careful what you do.
I mean, if we're actually catching criminals and murderers by being able to do that, is that not some sort of argument for this kind of thing? I'm kind of just playing devil's advocate on that one. I don't like it at all. But
I think it is, and I'm fairly sure that if Ewan was here now, he would say, so long as it goes through the right judicial process for the authorities to get that information, then it's all well and good. And I agree with that 100%. I think it's, to go back to Rich's point, around the when it's there and the bad guys can get hold of it, I think that's the issue. And we talked a while ago about Snooper's Charter in the UK, and obviously all the information being held in some sort of central government location, some sort of central server somewhere. And that's an awful lot of information to have in one place.
That's the terrifying part. Yeah.
Because you break through that one wall or those several walls into that one place, and then you've got a hell of a lot of information at that point.
You probably wouldn't even. I am waiting for the government employee leaves box of discs on train with everybody's personal information on it. That kind of thing. That's how it's going to happen. No one's going to hack into it. They leave it on trains. They leave it in the office, whatever, lying around. It's ultimately the biggest fail in any system is human beings. And
I wonder, though, I wonder if the issue that we are going to be finding is, and it is all about who are the good guys and who are the bad guys. All it will take is if one person is convicted, wrongly convicted for something that they haven't done because somebody else has manipulated technology to enable that to happen, then I think that there's a problem. Because I'm very happy with criminals being brought to justice, but I don't want innocent people to be brought to injustice, if that makes sense. And that can still happen.
Of course it can, yeah. But that's
and the more there is of this intrusion, the more likely it is because of either misunderstanding or the simple fact that when you get people up in a court, the defence attorney is going to be the one who is going to try and get the guy off, and the prosecution is going to be the guy who tries to get the guy convicted. And it's the person with the strongest case is the one who wins. That is as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. No. And the thing is, it's what they're trying to... they're going to say they're going to try and protect us from bad things happening to us, but in a way the people who are trying to hurt us have won in a certain way, because we have this surveillance state now that we didn't have in place before, which we don't have a say in. We're being listened to whether we like it or not. We don't know where and when it's going to happen, or if it will ever be used against us. And it might be a week's time, a year's time, 10 years time. Mm-hmm. We don't always remember what we did here, there and everywhere, or what we did online, or whether the things we do are legal or not. You know, sometimes it's a bit blurry, but I'd hate for technology to be used against me to kind of pin me up for something.
So advice to you, dear listener, if I may, then, please, just to address the listener and viewer right at this moment in time, what I suggest you do: get yourself a subscription to the Disney Channel and just watch that 24 hours a day. They can't get you on that. You'll be fine. You'll be all right.
I think for me, I have to trust the UK government. I live in the UK. I kind of have to trust them. I feel like I have to do, and I have to trust the judiciary in this country to do its job. What I'm more worried about is I don't trust other countries' governments, and I don't trust if they got hold of this information, what they could use it for, whether that be for me visiting their country. We've recently, I don't want to go all tinfoil hat, but you know, people have talked about traveling, going to America and having to hand over your phone. People have gone to other countries, and well, Russia, China, they've all been called out in the media for various reasons in the last few years. And for me, it's not so much the a UK thing, it's foreign governments.
I'll tell you what, I've just had this horrible feeling that I've ordered so much stuff off AliExpress from China. God alone knows what I've plugged into my network.
I've heard that they are at US customs now. When you arrive in the US, like, give us your phone, give us your Facebook password. We want to check that you've not gone, oh, I've gone to America to blow it up.
I don't think that'll stand at all. I think tourism's too high and too required for that ever to actually go anywhere.
Why on earth do you think that Nokia have just re-released a 3310? That is the holiday. That's the holiday phone.
Really is, but yeah.
You know, you're on holiday. Don't go on Facebook.
Yeah, everything to playing Snake in the departure lounge. Absolutely, yeah.
Exactly. You can have a 3310, and they also say actually, if someone takes your phone off you in an airport and they give it back to you, just leave it because you don't know what they've done to it either.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's a good point.
So be wary. This has become a very good consumer/ public announcement show today. We're doing quite well. Yeah,
please do redeem your voucher for a tinfoil hat at the end of the show.
Please use the voucher BTN tin at the checkout. Go to www.bacofoil.com.
For your 20% money off voucher. Perfect. I mean, that is if that isn't an advertising opportunity that we could easily miss out on, I don't know what is. Have a word with you and see what you can do.
Yeah. Camps, can you get us to their press office tomorrow, please?
My brother sent me an email.
Right. I'm not going to have a news story. I've got a bit of a lightning round. So, we've talked a lot on this show about VR, whether it is or it isn't great, whether it's going to be the next 3D TV or anything like that. And I've always kind of been, do you know what? I tried it in the 90s. I've tried it on the Google Cardboards, and I've had a go on some other ones. But this yesterday, I was lucky enough to go to a company called Immerse, Immersive VR in Norwich. And I got to play with the Vive and the Microsoft HoloLens. And one, I had my mind blown. And two, I've had my mind changed, because once you really get hold of those bits of kit, they're absolutely amazing. The HoloLens was just one of the best things I've ever used. So we sat, they've got this big office, and they're proper hipsters. They've got like their meeting table with a ping pong table, you know, they're proper hipsters. And they said, put your HoloLens on. Yes, fine, put that on. And then he says, look across the office. And you know, like when you're at school and you guys draw a little picture that went in your coat hook. Mm-hmm. You have to draw your little picture of yourself and you put it in your coat hook because you knew where your coat went. Well, if you look across the office, they all got these holograms floating above their heads. And these holograms stay in real, like physical space. And then he says to me, look out the window. So you look out the window and a shark swims down the street. I'm like, this is amazing. Now, the field of view isn't great. And unlike the Vive, it's not tethered to anything. And like I say, I've only really tried the, you know, this sort of stuff, you know, which is something they gave me. But then they said, well, we've got some VR games to play for you. We could show you, because they do like big business and technical and all that. And they said, we could show you a thing we're doing for Ericsson. And I said, we could do you something for medical. He said, or we could put you in a game in a pyramid where the Nazis have created portals to the past and dinosaurs come through and you have to shoot them. And I was like, oh yeah. So I put this thing on my head, and it gives me the two Vive controllers. And inside, when you move the controller, you actually see a gun. He says, don't worry about swearing. I said, what do you mean? He said, everyone swears. I said, what do you mean? And suddenly this portal opens, these dinosaurs come flying out at you. And what they don't tell you is they don't give you a magazine for your gun. It's on the other side of the room. So you're like, oh Jesus Christ. So you guys run across the room. Bend down, pick up this magazine, run back, put it in your gun. And also, and I did that. I was absolutely blown away. And then they put me in this, it was an underwater thing. And like millions of jellyfish swam past me. And it had ravines. You could look down, you could walk around, and then map the room. So when you got close to something, it said, like, there's a sofa there and all that sort of thing. And I've had my mind completely changed. And I just wondered, and I know we've done this on the show before, but how much experience of VR you've had, or if you still think it's a fad? Because I actually, now I've seen it implementation, actually think it could be something really amazing.
I'm still at fad level because I've not seen it working. I am prepared to go through that experience that you've been through and put it on and think, oh God, this is it then. But until then, I don't think I'm going to change my mind. I think I need that moment.
Yeah.
And it's going to take that. I'm more interested in augmented reality than virtual reality as well.
Yeah. Because the great thing with the HoloLens is you can manipulate things in space. So you have a cursor, so you have like a model, and then you pick your finger up and you just tap like that. And if it's obviously peripheral vision, you do that, it interacts, and then you're spinning things around and all that sort of stuff. And they've also been really clever because they've put 1,500 holograms around Norwich, and they stay where you put them. So if you walked around Norwich with a HoloLens on, these holograms are just all over the city.
That's after you've got run over by an awesome car.
better than a whippet.
So is that to say that the HoloLens has got the compute in the goggles?
Yeah, it's all completely. God, no, the battery life is probably 10 minutes, but yeah, it's all completely contained. Where with the Vive, I was tethered to like a really high powered PC. And like I say, my only experience is like those dodgy sit down plane simulators that you did in the '90s, and the Google Cardboard. But yeah, if you get the chance to really go and try some proper VR, not the Oculus or the Vive, go and try it because you might change your mind.
I think for me, I'm really intrigued to look at like PlayStation's version of VR from a consumer point of view, because I think what you've seen there, Paul, is you've seen a really high tech setup.
Yeah.
In a quite a controlled environment, and I think that setup you walk in, and it's going to give you the wow factor. They're set up and they're designed to give you that wow factor.
Yeah.
And I remember back on, I think it was something like Gadget Show a couple of years back, I remember seeing a setup, and it was a bit of a Call of Duty type simulator. You've got you're fully immersed, you've got the gaming headphones on, you've got the VR mask on, you're on like a rolling treadmill, 360 treadmill type scenario, and you're running around, you know, you got walking into buildings, and I absolutely 100% get that, and I want to play on that sort of game, and I would love that sort of game, I'm sure of it. But I think that's once a blue moon type opportunity to be able to do something like that. That, you know, I'm not going to be able to have a room big enough in the house, let alone be able to afford the equipment to install something like that and play away on it. So for me, I think VR, am I interested in it from a gaming point of view? Yes, I am. But I'm still yet to see at a consumer level something that I could have in my living room that would give me that wow factor. I don't see myself walking around Leeds with a HoloLens on.
More than 5 minutes.
And I don't think, and like I said, I've not seen things like PlayStation's setup. I've not had the chance to play that yet to see how impressive it is in the house. And I think that's the turning point for me. When I'm playing something in the house that gets me wow in terms of a game, then I'm bought in. But until that point, I'm still at fad level.
Cool. Mr. Hart, you sold or cold?
Well, my brother got the Vive Christmas time, and we went over a new year to have a go on it. And it's really interesting what you were saying about the fact it takes over the room, because it does. He's got like a sensor at one corner, another sensor at another corner. The PC has to be there. You have the tether that goes. So effectively, you've got to have the whole room to yourself, because it's not a spectator sport unless they fall over.
Yes.
And what they see on, obviously you've got a link to the telly, so you can see a kind of subset of what they're doing. I had to go on it. And I think I did the Google Maps, because you can do the flyover thing, which is really cool. And there are some clever bits and pieces they do to make it so you don't get travel sick, because I imagine that could get really messy. Like when you're moving, they narrow the field of view so it doesn't distract your attention and cause motion sickness problems. They probably did one of those simulator things. But the best fun we had was one of these. party games where you've got a bomb to defuse, and you can see the bomb, and you can use the controllers to sort of to manipulate it. And the controllers, I have to say, are remarkable. Chris, my son, is really sort of genned up on it, and he's saying that if you've got the helmet thing on, what are they called, the goggles, what are they called, the VR headset, that's it. Yeah. If you've got the headset on and you throw the controller up in the air, you can catch it with the headset on. It's that accurate in time, in space.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I saw. Yeah.
It is remarkable. And of course, so we're all playing this game, and they only they can see the bomb, and they have to stay. You've got this book of manual. I think you can probably play it on a PC, you know, as well. And you have a manual, and they say, what buttons do I press in what order? And that is really good fun, because they are fully immersed, and you can see the stress, especially when they take the bomb and they accidentally knock it off the back of the table. And so we just go, what should we do? What should we do? I've knocked it off the back of the table, and I can't find it. So yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, all the YouTube videos I've seen of people using it, playing it, they've got the Valve demo games. They've got the one where you can go to an office and you can do a desk job. You could do a virtual reality desk job, for crying out loud. Why? Anyway, has been as much for novelty as actually proper immersion gaming. I imagine as soon as the first properly immersion game happens, people are going to get psychologically traumatized by it, because it is so realistic. When you get bought into where you are, people are going to go, you know, it's like Better Than Life all over again in Red Dwarf, if you remember that episode.
Yes,
where it becomes what they do in their life, and they can't get out of this reality, this sub-reality, because frankly, it's more exciting and interesting in real life. Yeah. And I think what my daughter wants.
When's Ready Player One, the movie, out?
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's Spielberg's making it. It's next. I think it's next year. It's coming out. And to anyone who hasn't read Ready Player One, go and read Ready Player One, because it's spectacular. Especially if you're listening to this show, you'll get every reference and that sort of thing. And it's going to be a Spielberg movie next year, I think. I'm just looking for it now. But that's what it's about. Basically, the internet and this headset and this suit that you wear is better than real life. And real life sucks, because everybody is playing this game.
Oh, thing is, the immersion is amazing, because, like I say, there's the bit where you realise, and they don't tell you when you're playing this game, that you've got no bullets in your gun. Yeah. And literally this portal opens and like five velociraptors, because they come steaming through this pyramid. You're like, oh, Jesus Christ, and there's real panic. And so, you know, you're like, okay, fine. And you literally have to bend down, pick the thing up, put it in, and you start shooting. And you're like, yeah. I'm brilliant. And then all of a sudden the wall collapses and this full-size Tyrannosaurus Rex comes in, just towers above you and looks at you, and I swear a little bit of Wii came out.
Right, yeah.
I swear.
Mr. Sachs just said in the chat room, can you imagine a Resident Evil game that was super real? And that is khaki pants scary, that, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, I'll have to get some adult nappies for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's brought me to thinking back, because... We very rarely go to the cinema, but when we go and watch it, we went to see Rogue One over Christmas. We always go to the big one with the 3D glasses.
Yeah.
But it's one of these things where when you've got the 3D glasses on, towards the beginning, you just go, whoa, this is great. And then you completely forget that you're watching it in 3D close up. And you just like, it's not real anymore, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if because what's going to happen is, I mean, this is still at the... Do you remember when Blu-rays first came out and they were about £1,000 a pop? Okay, and then the price came down so quickly. And now you can get a Blu-ray player for pretty much, you know, for 30, 40 quid. When it gets to the stage where these devices are available for much less money, people will not be able to play not 3D games anymore, because, well, I don't, that's maybe a bit of a generalization. But the experience you get when you put these goggles on will be the standard experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. It'll become the norm, won't it?
Yeah. We'll be desensitized to 2D.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know, I you know, anyone, if you get the chance, they're coming back to UEA. We're lucky for me, we're going to start building some stuff with them. So we're going to look at VR as a teaching tool at the university. So I should keep you updated.
Good man.
Awesome. Right. As always, this show and all the others is supported by UK2. I'll give you a little update on my move to UK2. As I told you the last time I hosted, I moved all my servers to UK2 now, and they've been phenomenal. They've been absolutely brilliant. Helped me with my domains, my email accounts, helped me WordPress, everything. And the back end is fantastic. I used to be with another company and it looked like something from the 90s. It was absolutely horrible. And it's brilliant because I think I said last time, you say to them, thank you for supporting BTN. They say, thank you for supporting us. You're like, oh, fantastic. They're lovely. So if you want to give UK2 a bit of love, send them a tweet at UK2 and say, we love you supporting British tech. And if you want some money off your domains, VPNs, VPS, all those sort of things, head on to the support page at britishtechnetwork.com and check them out. Thank you very much. We appreciate them supporting us. That's what I meant to say. Oh, and now, James, what's next?
Is it the cool thingies?
Yes!
Yay!
Start me off.
Okay. Well, in all honesty, I've had a bit of a busy work week, and it has not given me the opportunity to play with my new toy. I've finally gone back to Android. This rather beautiful blue thing is the HTC U Ultra. And finally, I'm back. And it's amazing, actually, when you've been away from Android, and then you go back to Google Play, and you go, oh, I used to own that app, and that app, and that app. I've literally got pages of the apps I used to have. And the one I find most really useful is one called Fing, F-I-N-G.
I love that.
And it is amazing. I've probably covered it on the show before, but if you want to know what is active on your network, because you really should know what is active on your network, this thing jumps on your Wi-Fi, scans all the IP addresses. You can then do deep dives into each of the bits of kit that's on there to find out what services they're running. I can find out if the telly is talking to the CIA. But probably, unless they're doing it on some frequency that I don't understand. So it's a really useful tool. It's definitely available for Android. I don't know if it's available for iOS. It's certainly not available for Windows.
I'm downloading it right now.
I've had it for years. I love it. It's brilliant.
The fringe benefits of this, and do not do this, is if you're on a hotel Wi-Fi.
I know. I do it at work.
Yeah, you can see. I mean, in some respects, it's a good security tool as much as anything.
Yeah, and the other good thing is in Fing, you can go through and scan, and you can actually name devices, can't you?
Yes, that's right.
So if it comes up going like Huawei modem, you can go give it a specific name. So you can actually go through and go, I know what this device is. Mm-hmm. Although I don't know what that device is. Weird. Whoa. Anyway. It's been great seeing you. I'll see you all next week. thank you, Mr. Hart. Mr. Campion, what have you got for me, sir?
Got a game this week. There's a link in the chat room for the iOS version of it. It is, I forgot the blooming name of it now. It's Pixelcraft. I've forgotten the name of the game. Pixelcraft Space Shooter.
Pixelcraft
Space Shooter. So it's an old-style retro Space Invaders type shooter game. It's free on iOS. There's in-app purchases. I've never had to use them. They're all about buying extra coins to get you extra lives. Just play it properly and you'll wait your way through the game, to be totally honest. But yeah, it's old style. You drag it back, you fire away. There's 8 bosses to beat as you go through the levels. I've not had a chance to check which other platforms it's on. I should do that, and I'll add links on into the chat room as I find them. But yeah, great little game. A bit old bit style game music on there as well. Give it a download and give it a go. Definite morning motion game.
Downloading right now. I love these. I've been playing a game called Skyforce Reloaded, and it's the same sort of thing, but it's a bit more a modern version. So having an 8-bit version is going to be amazing. Sorry, I'm hosting a show. Don't get up.
It's available for Android as well, I believe.
Ah, love is all around. Indeed. Mr. Smith.
Yeah. Right. Well, you probably think I was going to do Switch. I'm not going to do Switch.
We've done that for weeks now.
Yeah, and it's not this. I have an accessory, and I just wanted to share this with you because it's made me smile time and time again. Obviously, the week after a new console comes out, you then you use it a bit, you want to figure out what accessories you want to go with it, you order those. And because it's a Nintendo launch, they're in short supply, so things have sort of been arriving in dribs and drabs at the house. And my first piece of console accessory arrived this week, and I thought you'd enjoy having this shared with you. See, the Nintendo Switch, great console. I think you imagine the range of games available for it currently in this first week of launch, something it's maybe being criticized for. So it's a good job that my 26 cartridge holder was the very first thing to arrive. So I can now take my entire game library and store it just there. I recommend you want to get your hands on it as soon as possible.
They want to run out.
Yeah. It looks for all the world like an old video cassette.
It's actually pretty good for what it is. It's just, you know, it's got a couple of sort of shelf / page things.
You could use it for your daily medications if you don't get enough.
It's a bit like that. I look forward to sort of 2019 when I fill this up.
I love your optimism.
It's worth the £8. Definitely.
So, and one more question, Rich. Yeah. Have you licked it yet?
No, I'm not licking the cartridge. I'm not licking
it. Live on there. Come on.
I tricked someone else into licking the cartridge.
We spent all Sunday trying to get all Sunday afternoon. We tried to get him to lick it.
Yeah, I'm not licking it.
No, he's not licking it. No,
I'm not licking it. I'm not even lying and saying, yeah, I licked it while you weren't looking. I don't know why I haven't just done that. Right. Yeah, I've licked it. It's gross. Yeah, there. I'll leave it now.
Sorry. please note show title, I'm not licking it.
Yes, there you go.
There you go. Perfect. Oh, well, there you go. Well, my one's a nice quick one because I've been really nostalgic about the old 3310 coming back out. And I was trying to explain to my daughter what it was like when phones were crap. Well, they weren't crap. They were good at the time. And then she was like, what's this snake about? So I got a version of Snake for iOS. It's got all the old keys and everything.
Brilliant.
It's like a 3310. It's completely pathetic. And you use the buttons to move it up and down, all that sort of thing. And, oh, game over, score zero. Brilliant. But she was like, that is what your phone was like. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, I pity you.
I was on a train, one of the last train homes on a drunken evening out. And I saw someone with the Galaxy Edge. Massive screen, and all I could see on it was the shape of the 3310, and he literally completed Snake while I watched it. I don't think to yourself, you've got £800 worth of technology there. What you have literally just spent the last 20 minutes doing, I couldn't do when I was 12.
It takes me back when phones were phones, when men were men.
Those were the days. Well, you can't throw phones across the room anymore.
No, actually, you can't. Yeah, you can't like use them as a weapon anymore. Cause you're not
right. God, throwing phones in anger. I forgot all about that.
Exactly.
That was such good times.
Yeah. You wouldn't dare.
Where's your phone? I don't know. I threw it when I was angry. It's over there.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you, chaps. That was stupendous. Absolutely stupendous, as always. So, last thing is, where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Campion?
Campion UK on Twitter, loitering around in the chat room and writing some reviews and the occasional blog post on richtechnetwork.com.
Yes, we should get btn.com.
We should, yeah.
Yeah, it makes it easier. Mr. Smith, I know where you are, but tell everyone else.
Well, you can find everything I put on the internet over at simplysyndicated.com or techsupportrich.com, which is the slightly less curated crapper version of Simply Syndicated, which is the proper stuff. So probably simplysyndicated.com instead of my own blog, but it's all there, you clever people, you'll find it.
Nice, and I'll see you Sunday.
You will indeed.
Nice.
As we search for more tech news.
I know. We've got 2 days. We can do it. Yeah. And the legend that is Mr. James Hart.
Now, I'm starting to write a book based on my experiences of getting my new Android phone. It's going to be called Snapchat for the Elderly. And my username on Snapchat is Keep Unique. And frankly, my wife said to me, why are you sending our daughter photos of your forehead and the ceiling? I haven't quite got the hang of it yet. I don't know. Anyway, I'm Syzygy on Twitter as well, S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y. Don't pop on there so much anymore because, frankly, it's locked down at work. You know, there isn't even a free Wi-Fi network at work anymore. What's going on there? Yes, that's where you can find me, or you can just come around my house.
I'll see you next week. Good old day.
Bring the CIA with you.
Yeah, okay.
And the DVDs.
And some cartridges for Rich. I'm Righty Boy. I'm at Paula's on Twitter, down in the Slack room, hanging out with these boys. And it's been a pleasure, Mr. Hart, to have you back. Absolute pleasure. It's like the old days again. I do like a bit of nostalgia. We'll see you all next week.
3310 of the British Tech Network.
Oh, I've got two talks to do now. Night all.
Night.
Bye.